available in more homes than the Pac-12 Network, we are the Podcast of Champions. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online.
And here he goes, Miles Jack.
And I'm Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com.
Liner, going to try to sneak it ahead. Touchdown, SC!
We are the Podcast of Champions.
Welcome, everyone, back to the Podcast of Champions. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online, the UCLA site on the 24/7 Sports Network.
And I'm Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com, the USC site on the 24/7 Sports Network. And together we make the Podcast of Champions, talking all things Pac-12 football, at least until August 1st or whatever is going on.
How big is your head?
How big is my head? I think I think I'm 7 3/8 or something hat size.
Okay.
How big is your head?
It's a 7 5/8. I was bringing that up just because I'm looking at our faces,
yes.
Which I don't usually do during our podcast, but since we are recording in separate venues, in my head, because of camera placement, but also just generally, is so much larger than yours. I'm in the very last notch of the Burger King crowns. Actually, I'm beyond the last notch of the Burger King crowns. I went to Medieval Times over Thanksgiving break, yes. And I couldn't fit in the crown. I couldn't get it over this dome.
Damn.
Yeah, and you would think with the hair loss, it would be easier. Say,
you have less padding, you know, a little.
But as I get older, my brain just grows. It's just a galaxy brain just pushing against my skull. People call it a hemorrhage.
Just a big brain Dave, that's all.
That's what it is. That's what it is.
So much knowledge in there.
Yeah, yeah, that's what we're telling people. Anyway, head size. Anyway, continue, please.
Yeah, I tried to get you to back up even. You're like, I don't want to back up, but now you're saying my head looks
well, it's right. Uncomfortable because I do in-ear headphones, right?
Yes.
Because I do wired headphones, and I don't want to like stretch it all the way back here, you know? Because then I'm yelling at my computer still, but the audio's worse. You know, there's just a lot, man.
Isn't the audio picking up on your headphone thing there?
I don't think so. That's all bullshit.
Okay.
Do you hear this mouse click? Do you hear this mouse click right now?
A little bit.
Okay. Do you hear it more now?
Yeah, I think so.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think tap this thing right here. This is. Oh, yeah. That's your microphone.
Is it really?
Yes.
I always assumed it was the onboard mic from the laptop.
I love my smart friends that are dumb people. Like, I love smart friends that are dumb. You know, my buddy Tyler that went to Harvard, just like, and he acts like an idiot. I'm like, I love my smart friends that are morons. So,
it's just, hello. How you doing?
Love you. Hey, just figured that out. Yes, that's your microphone, dumbass.
Who knew?
I need to be close to my computer to make my
7 5/8
head look even bigger. This is great for the podcast audience, by the way. They're loving this.
Yeah, this is awesome.
Yeah, we are live on our YouTube channel.
So I could be anywhere.
You literally could, but I'd rather you be on screen because, you know, I have to do these things, like all this production stuff, and try to keep you in line.
I've also got Christmas presents behind me. You see them behind the treadmill
there? Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Is that that's what the treadmill is used for, hiding Christmas presents?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. Hanger clothes, things like that. You can sit up a little bit. That would be nice if you know. So you're actually
Now I'm comfortable. Now I'm kind of relaxing because I learned that the
then tip the camera down more. Then
oh,
nah. You're halfway through the So we want this to be a good screen. You can still back up. Just tilt it down so you don't. Oh my God!
What do you mean?
such an idiot. It's Thursday morning, people. How did this happen? How are we off the rails already? We didn't even say, like, I didn't even give you like the pre-episode spiel of what's going on. But we are live on YouTube, which is great. So make sure you get over there. Hit that like button. Hit the subscribe button. If you have comments, put them in there. I'll try to put them up on the screen as we go along with the show. Today's going to be a preview of the first two Pac-12 football bowl games. The first two of the last seven Seven more Pac-12 games in existence unless Washington gets a win and goes to the championship game in the college football playoffs. But we're counting down. There's only a few games left we can ever preview in the Pac-12 ever again. And these are two of them. And they're going to overlap a little bit because that's very Pac-12. And why wouldn't you do overlapping bowl games when there's just no other games going on? But that's a side issue. If you have
the
a question.
The only thing I will say there.
Yeah.
In fairness to the Pac-12, is that the Independence Bowl was like an add-on bowl. It's not a typical Pac-12 bowl.
True, okay.
So there was, you know, that added factor, but still very stupid, and they should be able to flex the schedule. I know that they plan the bowl game times way in advance, but come on. Come on. Come on!
Come on. All right, if you have questions or comments, pac12podcast@gmail.com is the email address. You can call or text us at 424-532-0678. Perk left us a voicemail because he usually does. Thank you, Perk. Twitter at Pac-12 Podcasts. The website, if you see a tweet that has a lot of swear words in it, that's coming from David. If it's normal talking like a regular person, that's probably coming from me. The website, Pac-12Podcast.com. And you can also go to the Apple Podcasting app in your iPhone or iPad or whatever and leave us a 5-star review. We love those. We cherish those. We beg for those for some reason. I don't even know if it helps that much, but that's just what we do. Do we have any new ones, David?
Not a single goddamn new one.
Wow.
Not from any of these people listening right now. There are 32 whole human beings watching this right now. Mm. Not one of them has left a review in the last, 11 days.
Yeah.
This needs to be remedied immediately.
Shame on all of them. I think we need to like run them through the city streets with a bell. Shame, you know, naked, just chained.
Tell me in a review,
Game of Thrones style,
what your background in audio video technology is. Are you familiar with how microphones work? Are you familiar with how headphones work? Are you familiar with how headphone microphones work? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
And I need it from you in an Apple iTunes review.
Alex said maybe a piano fell on your head this morning.
Yeah, that seems right.
And Brian said slouching Dave. So
I don't know what it is. So I obviously I know that this works with my phone, but it never occurred to me. Never. Not in a million years.
Right.
That it was the thing that worked on the computer too.
Yeah. You like graduated from one of the premier institutes in the country, and yet here you are.
I wouldn't call it an institute. I would call it an institution.
I'm sorry. You're an institute person, I think, too.
I am an institute person. I probably spent some time in an institute. Nonetheless, my hairline is looking sweet. Look at that.
Alan says, sorry, my fake review botnet is having technical issues. I'll feed it more bitcoins or whatever. So, yeah.
Thank you, Alan.
Yeah. If you can feed bitcoins into a botnet and give us more reviews, that's perfect. Like, we would love that. You can do ChatGPT to make up like a funny story to write in your review. I want a ChatGPT review. Like,
We got one a while ago.
Did we get like someone wrote about us? Like it was like a glow. It was more of like a.
Yeah, it was really, really like, general. And
can you do a chat GPT that's like funny and has some inside jokes from the show? Like it'll talk about Disney princesses or something. Like I'm sure there's a way to do that.
No, chat GPT isn't funny.
They don't do funny stuff?
It's not funny. It's
okay. I don't know. I haven't.
Robot overlords.
We have a lot of people talking about Colt says, can we get another bro rant?
We had a steamy brocast last week.
Yeah, and then let's see. Oh, and says, Alex says, Ryan asked Dave about fiery Brandon Huffman bringing the heat on the last brocast.
So Tracy was indisposed last brocast, so we brought on Brandon Huffman to discuss. It was supposed to be just a recruiting podcast, but instead we basically lit the entire UCLA football program on fire. It was fun.
Did you get any like people from UCLA going, okay, I get it, but holy crap, dude, like back off a little bit?
I didn't. I can't speak for everyone. But
I think they look at you as a lost cause. Like,
No, I don't think anyone there is treating me as anything other than a terrorist. So it was fun. If you haven't had a chance, go listen to it, UCLA people.
Go check it out.
Or anyone interested in the documentation of the fall and decline of UCLA football.
Mr. Apollo in the chat says, Dave, can you please, 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 somewhere in your next article say, fuck Martin Jarmond.
No, that would be impolite.
Even Dave has limits.
I'm never impolite.
You're never impolite?
I mean, I won't be in this instance.
I mean, that's a little over the top, but
no, I can't do that. So
scorched earth policy on UCLA football, salt the grounds behind you, and yeah.
Well, so my general thing is, and like I'm not always perfect, but I like to stick to, especially as it relates to my job, the things people do versus who they are, their motivations, all this kind of stuff. I like to, you know, judge by actions, judge by those sorts of things, and then critique the actions and, you know, the things they say, the things they do. And so I consider that, this is my own personal stuff, is I consider that fair game. But getting into, you know, saying F you to somebody, that's not, what purpose does that serve?
True.
But yeah. Anyway, critique of Martin Jarmond as it relates to his job as the athletic director, absolutely fair game. But, you know, attacking him, that's not.
Mr. Apollo's following up with please, saying your broadcast actually did say that, so or practically said.
Practically said, no, it didn't. It said he is doing a poor job. Managing the football program.
Was he a popular athletic director hire and like early on, and now he's not popular, or what's the
yeah, sort I think, of like- so he hit a lot of the like really good PR stuff early. Okay. So he did a lot of really good stuff. Last minute deciding to go with the FCS schools, going with the historically black colleges. It drew some ire, but I thought it was a good move. Getting Jumpman, the details of that contract aren't very good or favorable to UCLA, but getting Jumpman was thought of as a win. And just, I think a lot of the like softer marketing stuff, like PR stuff, like putting himself out there, all that kind of stuff. I think it was seen as a welcome change from Dan Guerrero, who is really old school, you know, didn't have social media, you know, kind of operated in the shadows behind the scenes, that whole thing. So seeing an AD who was kind of out there, but I think as, and this is true for every AD, you're not judged on that stuff. Like that's all soft stuff that can help like smooth your image or do all that kind of stuff. But what you're judged on from a public standpoint is how you manage your marquee programs, first and foremost football and then men's basketball. And I think there have been two opportunities since he was hired to shuffle off from the Chip Kelly era. And he's, taken the other route each time. And now it's, you know, I think it's people, the honeymoon period is definitely over. And I think people are seeing what's happening right now as like, an actual attack on their fandom, an actual attack on like, you know, why should I even care if this is the way this is going to be run? And so I think it's turned from probably if you asked Joe Fan 8 months ago, is Martin Jarmond a good AD? They'd say, oh, yeah, hell yeah. And literally maybe even 2 months ago, oh, yeah, hell yeah. And now it's no, absolutely not.
Yeah.
And I think there are some who are probably still on the fence, but I think a lot of people are turning because of how football has been managed in the last month.
Yeah. We have some breaking news. This is insane. We have a super chat from Alexander. 100 smackers. Wow.
Whoa.
Thank you so much. Finally made it for a live show, although I can't actually watch right now. The POC has been my weekly highlight, a weekly highlight for me for years. No snark, sorry. I just appreciate you both. Go Buffs. That's so cool.
Wow. Alexander, you are an absolute mensch. Wow. We're very happy that Colorado went from 1 to 4 wins this year. That is an improvement of, I believe, 300%. Is that correct, Ryan? Can you check my math?
Yeah.
Maybe 400%. Which one is it? Because it's 100% to get to 2, right? So it should be 200% to get to 3, 300%
to get to 4, right? I would think.
But yeah, it is times 4. 1 times 4 does equal 4?
Yeah, that also does, yes.
Okay.
But you have the 1 already, so.
Yeah. You've checked my math. I feel good about it now. Alexander, no question. And I've been told not to talk about what a paragon of virtue you are because it annoys people. But know that I'm thinking it strongly, very strongly. In fact, 20 times what I'd be thinking about West Texas Mike right now.
I think for this one, you could make an exception. If it's like a $10, that's awesome. But thank you so much for doing that. Dave, you know, we should do it. So, Dave, you can only buy your kids Christmas presents with Super Chat money. So how about we do that?
I'd be buying them a lot of Christmas presents at this point. We've gotten some, we've loaded up on some
Super
Chats lately. You guys have been awesome. We love our listeners. And this truly is a labor of love, but now it's kind of a labor of money because you guys keep giving it to us.
That's so cool. We had a MWD has a Martin Jarmond clip here. He says, I met him a couple of road games this season and was happy to get a chance to talk to him. If that happened now, I would be disappointed at the fact that Chip is still a coach because of him. So yeah. I guess that goes along with what you were saying, that people were happy with his performance and then not so much now.
Yeah, it's this is where I think like the optics of the job versus the realities of the job kind of trip a person up, because I think Martin Jarmond can nail the optics of a job like that, like glad handing fans and being that, like the way he was during the NCAA tournament Final Four run in 2021, where he like found a random fan and like started posting a bunch of social media stuff, and like that all blew up and it was like, oh, this is cool. Wow, having an AD out there who's like really doing all the like PR stuff that you don't really see, that's very cool. But you got to hit on your main stuff. You got to hit on, for your bosses, you have to hit on revenue. You have to hit on fundraising. You have to hit on all that stuff. And for the fans who don't give a shit about any of that, you have to hit on wins and losses or firing coaches. You got to do one or the other. You can't just sit there on your hands. And that part's not going well. And the fundraising piece for NIL and stuff is not going great either.
Yeah. All right. We'll see what kind of happens there. What more broadcast? I got to listen to that. I haven't listened to that one yet. So I got to check out the broadcast with you and Brandon. That'd be a lot of fun. Go to see Brandon over in Hawaii. You should go to Hawaii for the Polynesian Bowl. UCLA recruits at high school, right? It's in January, mid-January. It's a fun time. Brandon's amazing over in Hawaii. He's awesome. He loves it.
King of Hawaii.
He loves it.
Yeah, no, he's a lord over there.
Yeah, it's awesome. Wanted to talk a little about the Heisman Trophy. Former Pac-12 quarterback Jaden Daniels ends up winning the Heisman Trophy. My ballot was Michael Penix 1, Jaden Daniels 2, and Bo Nix 3. They finished a little bit different than that. Daniels end up winning.
All Pac-12 players.
All Pac-12 players.
In the top frankly, Jaden Daniels, if there's like a college football hall of fame for Heisman Trophy winners, should go in with an ASU jersey.
Screw LSU. Better. Yeah.
All of his development was handled by the great Herm Edwards. He was forged in the fire of Tempe in the Valley of the Sun. And then did another school reap the reward? Certainly.
Yeah.
But we know in his heart, in his soul, in his dreams that he is an Arizona State Sun Devil.
He's a Sun Devil, yeah.
They can't take that away from ASU. ASU now, forever and always, claims a Heisman Trophy winner.
I think it's great. And you put him in adverse situations. Don't give him good scheme. Don't put good players around him. Make him that you toughened him up. You know, like in the society nowadays, these people aren't that tough. Herm toughened him up. And so when you go to a good situation, then you can thrive, which he did.
Well, you go down to a lower level, which is what happened there. You know, you go from the Pac-12 where you're going against Oregon under Mario Cristobal. Like, think about that. That's just tough. You're going against Chip Kelly in his first 2 to 3 years at UCLA. That's hard. You're going against the great Clay Helton. And then you get to drop down to the SEC. I mean, come on. I mean, it's a real credit, again, to ASU, to the program, to their development. to everything related to ASU, we've got to be very, very proud of them. And then to have three Pac-12 quarterbacks in there, all of them Pac-12, spent every meaningful moment of their careers in the Pac-12, every single one of them. Bo Nix, where was he before Oregon? Who knows? Yeah. Michael Penix, no idea. Could have come from anywhere. But those formative, critical moments, all in the conference of champions.
Ben wants to know, would Penix have won if he was in the SEC?
Well, at that level, he probably throws for 65 touchdowns, right?
Probably.
I would think.
Blows Joe Burrow's numbers away or something. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think he would have averaged about 20 yards per attempt, and probably thrown for 65 touchdowns. So yeah, he probably wins it. And if Bo Nix was in the SEC, he certainly never was before. I can't remember. But if he was in the SEC, probably runs for 2000 yards, throws for another 4,000.
Yeah. So Daniel's numbers were ridiculous, but I feel like they were like trying to get him the Heisman later in the season, like putting up big numbers against crappy teams.
Okay, legitimate point.
Yeah.
If 9-3 Oregon had a quarterback put up the same numbers,
yeah, he doesn't win.
There's no fucking way he wins the Heisman.
He doesn't win.
Yeah. This is strictly a product of most of college football media, most of the people voting for this thing living east of the Mississippi.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is the classic East Coast bias shit. So I don't LSU wasn't very good this year. And while that shouldn't matter, I'm generally like, if you were awesome, you're awesome. But the thing is, like, and this is an argument that I thought was compelling that Washington fans made. It's like, you take Jaden Daniels off LSU. What are they, 8-4? You take Michael Penix off of Washington. They're like 6-6 this year.
No, like, that's true. Yeah.
There's nothing. I mean, it's the value over, like, it's not even like value over replacement player, like, because the replacement player for Washington would have been somebody good. It wouldn't have been Dylan Morris. Right. But you took, I don't know, Ethan Garbers and threw him in at Washington. What are they doing this year? 8-4?
Yeah, they're not going to the playoff. They're not winning the Pac-12. You know. You
stick Ethan Garbers in LSU, I think they're going 8-4. So Jaden Daniels worth about a win. Michael Penix worth about 4. So I think that's a compelling argument. I think Bo Nix gets a lot of crap for being a check down merchant, but frankly, he was a check down merchant completing about 80% of his passes. There's a lot of check down merchants out there. Don't complete 80% of their passes. You take him out of that team, they're not anywhere near as good this year. You put Ethan Garbers on that team, they're not anywhere near as good this year.
Yeah.
So I think both of those guys had more compelling arguments than Jaden Daniels, who put up video game numbers and was spectacular. But LSU is LSU. I mean, they still have a bunch of athletes everywhere. Their talent level is still going to bring them to a certain win total. And frankly, they play an SEC schedule where they've got nothing in the non-conference a lot of years.
Yeah. All right. There's a lot of transfer portal action going. I guess Oregon getting a quarterback is probably the biggest news right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dylan Gabriel, who I think is just about a perfect fit.
He seems like it, yeah.
Yeah, I think that one makes a lot of sense. Washington and USC, last we checked, still waiting on their quarterback situations to develop. I think those are like kind of the big notes.
Yeah.
The big news. Yeah, I mean, ASU, Arizona, I think everyone else. Cal took a transfer from North Texas at quarterback, proving that Justin Wilcox has an absolutely broken, like hideously broken brain. Doesn't realize what he had this year in Fernando Mendoza and is now taking some, lower level chump to come in there. And run probably some bullshit West Coast offense again. So we'll see what that one looks like. And then Oregon State, I think obviously they're just still waiting to kind of see how the dust settles a little bit before they figure out who they're taking at quarterback, because they're losing pretty much their entire depth chart.
Yeah, that's not going to look good over there. Yeah. Okay, well, we got to preview a couple of Pac-12 games. So there's two games this weekend. Then I think with like three more the following weekend, or that, you know, that time frame or whatever, starting on the 23rd. So we got two games on the 16th, I believe it is. Mm-hmm. And then a couple more, I think the 23rd. And then, you know, kind of after that, Christmas and just afterwards, just after Christmas, pre-Christmas. And then, of course, you know, Pac-12 championship game. I mean, sorry, the college football playoff game. And then the New Year's Six Bowl. So we'll do a couple shows previewing the games. We got two to preview today. The first one has to do with
UCLA Bruins.
The UCLA Bruins are playing in a bowl game this year on a, well, as far as we know, who knows what COVID, you know, COVID may strike and they may have to cancel it, you know.
Who was that against?
30,
was that
no, 30 minutes before the bowl game or something?
Who was canceled? They were pissed.
NC State in the Holiday Bowl. Because UCLA waited till the morning of, despite dealing with an outbreak for most of the previous 10 days. And it wouldn't have taken a math major to project that they wouldn't have enough players to play the game. But they waited until literally the day of. Pissing off not only NC State, but all of their fans. Anyway, this one's on Saturday. ABC at 4:30 p.m. in SoFi Stadium. UCLA Bruins taking on the Boise State Broncos. Right?
Yeah, does sure. That That's Bronco-y.
Yeah. Boise State's a 4-point underdog. UCLA is favored by 4 points. All right, so here is my understanding of the situation as it pertains to rosters.
Okay.
UCLA, let's start with Boise State because they're easier. They're going to be down to a true freshman at quarterback who's taken two snaps this year because their second stringer's hurt and their first stringer transferred out.
Okay.
They're down their top wide receiver, but they've been down him for the last month. He transferred out because he hated Andy Avalos, and then they didn't let him back on the team after Avalos was fired.
Okay.
Besides that, they're pretty much intact. They're going to be pretty good. They've got a good offensive line. It's mostly intact. They've got an awesome running back, Ashton Giante. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. I don't really care. And their defense isn't good, but their offense was pretty darn good this year, and it was mostly led by their running game. So I'm not even sure how much of a factor it'll be that Taylen Green is playing for Arkansas now.
Okay.
So that's Boise State. UCLA, it's a little bit tougher nut to crack. So let's start with the defense because that's probably the biggest changes. Danton Lynn, their defensive coordinator, is gone.
Okay.
You're going to hear a lot of poo-pooing from UCLA fans because they are coping that Danton Lynn took advantage of a very good collection of talent and rode that to putting out a top 15 defense. That's all horseshit because in 2022, this exact same collection of players played like ass. Then they played really well this year. The difference was the defensive coordinator. QED, it's all done. That's final. Now, will they maintain that level of play? Will they have scheme continuity? Will they have play calling continuity in the bowl game? Maybe. They're going to have a Kaika Malloy, the defensive line coach, call and plays. We'll see. Players, Leatu Latu is sitting this one out.
Is he good? I don't remember hearing his name.
First team All-American, winning basically every defensive line award nationally.
Oh, that Leatu Latu. Oh,
probably their best edge rusher. Probably their best edge rusher, I don't know, ever. So he's not playing. They still have good edge rushers. The Murphy twins are good. Carl Jones is pretty good. But it won't be Leatu Latu. Linebackers intact. Defensive backfield is very, very thin now. Kamari Ramsey, one of their starting safeties, entered the portal. I think he's trending towards probably USC.
Interesting.
Yeah. William Nimmo, one of their second string safeties, who was pretty good this year. He transferred out. He's not going to play in the bowl game. And John Humphrey, their starting cornerback, also entered the transfer portal, and he won't play in the game. So they're going to be thin in the defensive backfield, but as I said up top, Boise State really just runs the ball, and they're also going to have a true freshman quarterback. I wouldn't anticipate them trying to attack the secondary that much. So that's probably a good note for UCLA. However, losing Leatu Latu, are they going to be able to pressure the quarterback on those few opportunities that they do throw? I think Boise State's just going to try to run the ball. I think UCLA is going to try to stop the run. It's really going to depend on, does this front seven play as well as it's played all year without Leatu Latu, or does it have a struggle fest in a bowl game And, you know, the motivation factors play such a big role in these types of games. Boise State playing for an interim coach who just had his interim tag removed. First game as the true head coach. Yeah, I'm taking Boise State.
Whoa. Okay. Wait, is Dante Moore starting this one for UCLA?
Oh, right. I didn't get to the offense. Dante Moore is transferred. So he's gone.
He was like a freshman, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he transferred out. Ethan Garbers he got hurt against Cal. He was practicing this week. I think the latest is that we're going to anticipate he plays. UCLA's offensive line is still the same thing it was, though. Which means
good, right?
No, which means he's going to get hit. Okay. Boise State's defense isn't great, but they're going to hit the UCLA quarterback because UCLA's tackles don't know how to pass protect. So that's going to happen. At running back, Carson Steele didn't practice this week. I doubt very strongly that he's going to play. So it'll be TJ Harden, who's probably better. But
yeah.
You got one, and then the drop off to number two is considerable if you don't have Steele. At receiver, they lost Cam Brown and Keegan Jones to the portal. Cam Brown was a non-factor this year, mostly because UCLA didn't throw the ball outside of the hashes. But Keegan Jones was increasingly a factor, big speed guy. Neither of them will play.
Okay.
Carson Ryan, one of their tight ends, who's very good, was a good downfield threat this year. He won't play. They do have other tight ends. They do have other receivers. And again, they don't really throw outside of the hashes. So it's really all about the tight ends in the slots. So that'll be Logan Loya, Maliki Mataveo, and Hudson Habermill. I imagine they'll get a steady diet of passes. But yeah, so they're limited a little bit offensively by some of these departures, most notably Dante Moore, because now they're going to have to drop from still somewhat hurt Ethan Garbers to still somewhat hurt Colin Schley as their two main quarterbacks in this game. Yeah, so anyway, with all of that, I'm taking Boise State.
Okay. Well, I got to go with UCLA in this one.
Obviously.
Here's some factors. I don't know if you realize this, but Boise State, yeah, they won the Mountain West. They fired their coach in the middle of the season. Mm-hmm. So obviously they don't like the direction that the program was going. Now, UCLA, I know there were some rumblings about, they kept their coach. So I think they like the direction that their program is going. So even though you lose a few guys, you're kind of, cutting some of the fat, I believe, with the Bruins. You keep your head coach. You must like the trajectory of where your program is going. I like that they're on a rise here. They're going places. They're going to the Big Ten. They're playing a team from the Mountain West that fired their coach. Mm-hmm. Only 4 points. Give me the Bruins in this one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that Latu guy, I don't think he's that good,
Honestly, the only reasoning you really needed was that I think I am 3-8 picking UCLA this year.
You aren't that good. I'm only actually three games behind you. So season totals right now.
A productive bowl season could make this very interesting.
Yeah, I was like kind of out of it, but then I kind of destroyed you in the last.
I had two absolute nightmare weeks to end the year.
You had a couple of bad weeks. But I'm 45-37-1 against the spread. You're 48-34-1. Both are very good records. But it's close. And here's the thing with the bowl games, too. Like, I feel like we knew a lot of stuff going on. Like, I don't know much about Boise State. Like, this is all going to be random. Plus, there's a randomness to bowl games. With the portal, you add more random. Like, this is really more of a coin flip sort of thing. Like, who knows? Like, it could be Boise State could win in a rout. UCLA could just destroy them.
Right.
Who the hell knows? Because the teams are different. What's the motivation? You've been gone a long time. Does UCLA just curl up and die because they think that Chip Kelly shouldn't be their coach, or they rally around them, circle the wagons, and play like bananas? I mean, who the hell knows? Like, so I don't know what's going on in this game, but I'll pick UCLA just because you picked Boise State.
That seems fine.
Yeah. The other one, we got the Independence Bowl, and this one features future ACC program.
California Golden Bears.
Yeah. So this game is on ESPN at 6:15 p.m. So it'll start around halftime of the UCLA-Boise State game.
Yeah.
Cal taking on Texas Tech in the Independence Bowl. Texas Tech Red Raiders. I decided that was racist, so I'm not going to do that one.
okay.
Texas Tech, they are a 3-point favorite. So, all right, I'm looking at what Texas Tech has lost to the portal, because this is sort of what you have to do.
I'm relying on you for this.
Do you know how many transfers out they have right now?
Well, they had, like, Shuck, the quarterback that was the Oregon quarterback, transferred out.
Yeah. They
Tyler
have,
Shuck, or you don't they've like had Shoe, or since, whatever you call him.
Since November 19th, when Shuck entered the portal, they've had 14 guys transfer out.
Okay. That right, depends. Sometimes you have guys that aren't factors, they're transferring.
It looks like most of their receiver room. All right, now I'm going to look at Cal. Cal just had Sam Jackson transfer out. They've lost Sam Jackson, one of their corners, one of their linebackers. Okay. Both of their backup quarterbacks. So Sam Jackson and Ben Finley both transferred out. Okay. All right, season-wise, so Texas Tech, we saw them against Oregon. They played a pretty competitive game.
Yes.
They finished the year 6-6, lost badly to Texas in the last game of the season, but before that won 3 straight over some competent teams. Cal kind of snuck into a bowl game thanks to beating the absolute piss out of a completely unmotivated UCLA.
Yes.
But Cal's not very good. Cal is...
Mendoza's good.
Mendoza's pretty good, but Cal's not very good.
Okay.
They also lost Jake Spavital to Baylor? I think it was Baylor. So that's all hard. That's all hard to deal with. But Texas Tech also lost a ton of guys. This is in Shreveport, which is closer to Lubbock.
No, but this is closer to ACC country, where Cal lives now.
Wow, thank you.
Right? So
yeah,
it's like coming to Cal's back, like it's like Cal's backyard.
Yeah, this is there should be a lot of ACC fans there rooting for a long time ACC program Cal. I have no fucking idea who to pick in this game.
I think I'm just going with Cal getting 3 points. So if you want to,
yeah, let's do it. No, let's do it. Let's go with the Pac-12. I think Texas Tech's a far better team, far better. But who knows with all the portal departures and all that kind of stuff. Fernando Mendoza seems like a gamer and a winner, so let's go with it.
I mean, I thought they've played a little better towards the end. There's some motivation there.
I mean, yeah, sure. What the hell? Why not?
I want to like clarify. I love the bowl games. I love watching them. But it's almost like a different sport because of everything that's going on.
Point of order. I don't love watching bowl games on December 16th.
Okay.
Like give me some stuff when like winter break is on. Like,
yeah, you want to be on your couch.
When kids are out of school, when you don't have really anything to do.
There's presents under the tree.
Yeah. Eggnog. Like, I want bowl games then. I don't need bowl games before friggin' early signing day. We don't need this. Like this is no.
There's kind of a lot. This is a terrible time of the season. I mean, there's too much going on. We've created this monster of, you know, 4 weeks of December, like for college football.
We didn't create it. This is stupid. We've been calling it stupid from the beginning.
Yeah. We've been saying it was dumb from the very beginning. If they move signing day back to February, that would solve some of this. But the portal is nuts. And it does make the bowl games kind of nuts. Because it's just like, hey, what's going to go? Who's going to play? Who's motivated? Like that was always a factor. Whenever you take like a month off or several weeks off from the season, like that's going to change things. But portals made it like, oh, your quarterback's not there. Your quarterback's not there. It's like a whole different ball game. You know, like what's going to happen with no Tyler Shuck? I don't know.
They need to change the portal window. I mean, that's an obvious one because you're seeing it even more this year with like guys from teams that are going to be competing in serious bowl games. Or what we previously would have thought of as serious bowl games, not even necessarily wanting to leave, but needing to because of the accelerated timeline. Like Malik Murphy for Texas, he said, yeah, I wanted to stay, but I can't. Like, if I want to go secure a job for next year, I need to do it now because I need to be in January meetings. And it's just, you know, some of that is like, oh, you want guys in there who can do it for January, but I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I think some of it is just school calendars and like that's part of the problem, but there's got to be a better way to work this. And maybe it's, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, transfer portal is just going to make it hard. I do think still that if they're going to do an early signing day, though, it should be in the summer or June rather than in December.
Yeah. No, December is just a terrible time to do it. All right. So we differ. Two games we picked. I will put my bets into my MyBookie account as usual. So done pretty well this year, being a little above 500. Love feasting on good food during the holidays. And, of course, consuming all of the football and do my bets over at MyBookie. If you're still trying to figure out where to play, look no further than MyBookie because they keep it simple. You bet, you win, and you get paid to celebrate the holidays. They're giving a whole bunch of boosted bets, cash contests. You don't want to miss them over at MyBookie. And the best part is you don't need to be a sports whiz to win. You can cash in on everything from politics to your favorite shows and then some. So sign up, make your first deposit, and use the promo code PAC12 for a sweet deposit bonus. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only at MyBookie. All right. Hi, yeah, those are previews. Okay, so why don't we take a quick break? We'll come back and do some questions, Mr. Woods. Back in a minute, everybody. How was your break, David?
It was
great. Did you get super close to the camera?
No, I wouldn't say that.
No. Yeah. Plus, by the way, the LA Bowl, I don't know where you know where it is. It's in Los Angeles. Sponsored by Gronk, who's a Pac-12 guy. How do you not go with the Pac-12? LA Bowl. It's closer to Westwood than Pasadena is.
Did you shorten the commercial music?
No.
Hmm. I think I've been doing it too long then when I do the sound effects.
You do kind of go on a little bit.
I always thought there was a second stanza.
No, that's just it. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to be closer to the camera for longer is what I'm saying.
Gotcha.
I was trying to check out all the hairs in my nose.
Well, let's see how many you got. Do you use a little nose trimmer?
No, I generally just go like that.
Oh, that kind of hurts. Like makes me sneeze sometimes if you do that.
Yeah, it's kind of fun though.
Oh,
no?
Okay.
No?
Oh, sure.
Weird? Weird thing?
That could be weird. Colt had a question on YouTube. Where's the Pac-12 post-funeral party going to be? We got to do some kind of party.
We got to do something in spring.
Maybe for the Pac-12 basketball tournament, like we could do something in Vegas.
Let's do that.
We've had a couple gatherings. Pac-12 basketball, I don't know if a lot of our fans are going to go out there. They'd mostly be Arizona fans. Like, it's kind of overrun by Arizona fans.
Isn't everything.
But we could do that. Yeah, we'd do something like that. Or, I don't know. But, I mean, where would people gather? Like, I tried to do something for the championship game. Just no one, there wasn't, like, a lot of people there. A lot of
it's interest. Almost like the reason the conference is dying is because they couldn't get a massive amount of fan dollars.
Yeah.
Influence TV decisions.
All right, let's play this voicemail.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Perk. Just kind of curious, more so to Dave than Ryan, but given how you guys have both spoke glowingly about both what Jed Fish has done at Arizona and kind of what it appears Kenny Dillingham's about to be doing or on the cusp of doing at Arizona State. I'm curious if you guys look kind of 5 years into the future, which program do you think is doing better in the Big 12? I just want to get your thoughts on that. Thanks, guys.
It's a good question. I'm always going to be slightly higher on ASU long term than Arizona because of where they are located. It should be theoretically and historically easier to recruit to Tempe Phoenix than it is to recruit to Tucson. It's a larger metro. There's, you know, just kind of inherent things that make that true. But Jed Fish already has it kind of rolling at Arizona.
Yeah.
He already has gotten over the hump of turning it into a successful team, at least this year. And I would posit a successful program. Kenny Dillingham isn't there yet.
True.
So weighing those two factors, I'm always going to weigh current success, especially on a 5-year time horizon. If you gave me 20 years, I'd probably say ASU. But you give me 5 years, I'm going to go with the guy who's already doing it, Jed Fish.
I think I'm going there too. And we've seen the potential with ASU. We've seen the like upward trajectory, and then it just kind of, they always like shoot themselves in the foot. So I'm guessing at some point they're shooting themselves in the foot. And we've seen that, you know, I think Jed Fish can sustain that for a while, you know, and be successful in the new conference and all that. So yeah, I'm going to go with Arizona too, but I love what Dillingham's doing. And it just seems like if you follow Chris Cartman's tweets, like things are going in the right direction, but you just feel like something weird is going to happen, you know, and I don't know. So until it happens, I'm going to go with the current success, like you said. We got a super chat from Alan in St. Louis. Dave, not sure if you heard, but Andy Enfield is bad at coaching basketball. How's your guy? Does he bring you joy? If so, we'd like to steal him.
You cannot steal our little 5'6 Irishman. No, he's ours.
That would be funny.
Stay over there.
Oh my God. Next time I talk to Jen Cohen, I'm going to be like, you know, it'd be fun. Like it would make my podcast more entertaining if you hired away Mick Cronin. And not to be the head basketball coach, but to be like, you know, an academic advisor or something. Like, yeah, we don't want him to, we're going to keep Enfield coaching basketball, but we're going to hire Cronin away and like have him do something else, you know?
Are USC
fans media relations or something?
Are USC fans finally understanding that Andy Enfield is bad?
I think a lot of them felt like that way from the beginning, but holy cow, like they should not be 5-4 with like Isaiah Collier and Bronny James. Actually, I went to the game. He looked like legit dude. Like he had a lot of energy. He was like, you know, nice.
No, player. I like Bronny.
He's not like, I don't know if he's going to be like a megastar, but he was like one of their better players when he was in the game.
If you remove that his father is LeBron James, he's a really nice college player.
Yeah.
Who would help a team for like several years and then probably make an NBA career out of it. But he's not like a one and done, and he's not like, you know, a can't miss prospect, but he's like one of those guys who should be really good at the college level. Andy Enfield is and always has been a hilariously bad coach who recruits really well and then squanders talent. But I've gotten so many USC fans who are like in my mentions when I mentioned that, who are like, oh, but he's still the best USC football. It's like basketball coach ever. And it's like, who makes these arguments? Like, this is disgusting. Like, I feel like the UCLA fans who are like, oh, well, you know, this is as good as it gets for us. And it's like, you're USC. You're located in like one of the best hotbeds of basketball talent in the country. You've got like money to spend on some of this stuff. Like you've always been okay cheating in basketball. So why are you settling for this? This is piss. Yeah. And it's just like, I don't know, in the same way that like, you know, UCLA kind of little brothers a little bit to USC in football, it's been the same thing. And it goes back to the Wooden years when only one team would be able to make it to the NCAA tournament. So USC was just content to play second fiddle. And it's like that mentality is just maintained. And it's like, there's no reason for this. Like, you don't need to have Andy Enfield. You could go get a real coach and then
like
probably
Mick Cronin
or something. Well, like Mick Cronin-esque. And probably still recruit at just as high a level. And instead of, you know, flaming out in the Sweet 16 at your absolute peak, you could actually win some games and some, you know, real things.
What would the broadcast be if UCLA hired away Mick Cronin to, like, be the basketball coach? Like, what would happen?
I would self-immolate. honestly, this is me speaking as an alum. I am absolutely horrified they let Danton Lynn go without at least matching the offer. Or go hire whatever you need to do to not allow that to happen. That is such a bad look. Like, it just looks ridiculous. You look unserious. You look like a second-rate program when you allow things like that to happen.
Yeah. All right. We had a super chat thank you. Oh, let me do the should have did that for the $100 one, but yes, as Dave said, his head size has given him galaxy brain and is overthinking the UCLA chip situation. He just needs to upgrade the talent. The cupboard was bare when he got there. Trust the process. Yeah, it takes time to build that talent. You can't do it in like 6 or 7 years. It takes, you know, 8 or 9. Like, you got to – so extension, move forward with it.
It hurts so much when you guys do this. And, you know, the point is it's now getting to like literal Clay Helton territory, except Clay Helton didn't get – didn't they didn't stick with Clay Helton exactly this long. But this feels like – remember 2018 when they didn't fire Helton and then they released that statement where it was like he needs to improve in and these like, areas.
Yeah,
like, and they listed literally every possible – like every possible thing that a football program can do. And they had to improve in all of those areas. And still, I think that was a more hopeful situation for USC fans because at least they understood that they had to acknowledge that they sucked. UCLA won't even acknowledge that they suck. Like, they won't even do it. They won't even release a statement. It's just, oh, no, of course we'll keep him because good things aren't possible. We've tried everything. We've tried nothing, and we're all out of ideas. And it's just it's absolutely infuriating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember where we left off email-wise? Is it the game we loved has all but died, or I don't remember if we did that one.
I'm not in it yet. Hang on.
Nice.
Which one was that? That was my 63 Chevy?
Yeah. Is that? I don't think we did that, did we?
I don't think we did. Hang on.
Great podcasting.
Shoot. I am not sure who we did. Okay, so we did the Grinch one. Did we do the Frank and Sarah, the Fred and Sarasota one?
I think we did.
Okay, and did we do the text message? Can you give me your odds on Washington being able to retain DeBoer?
Maybe not.
Okay, odds on Washington being able to retain DeBoer, pretty good.
Yeah, that was December 2nd, so I think that was right after the championship game. And so...
didn't we do my 63 Chevy? Didn't we record on Monday?
But I don't think we finished all the questions.
Okay. I don't think we did any questions, actually.
Because you had
I'm thinking about it. Yeah, let me do my 63 Chevy. I'll read it. The game we loved has all but died. This past weekend, I took notice of two things in college football. One, the bias in favor of the SEC is so overwhelming it makes me sick. Giving Bama and the SEC in general the benefit of the doubt, despite the conference's sub-500 record versus other P5 schools in 2023 with the best win, a UK win over Louisville, a team FSU just beat with a true freshman 3-star frat pledge at quarterback. The SEC has a great history, but they have done nothing in 2023 to show the country they are the best, and the fact the CFP chose to give them that based largely on things you can't measure, cough, ESPN, cough, cough, and happened in the past makes me sad at the state of college football. Two. Cinderella is dead. With the transfer portal and NIL becoming such a huge factor in modern college football, I fear the days of cycling up or teams constantly punching above their weight are over. As we watch Cam Ward leave Wazoo for one of apparently 7-10 seven-figure offers as well as countless other transfers nationwide, I can say I don't blame them, but it makes me sad as I fear we will never see a Kellen Moore lead a plucky Boise State to an undefeated season or a Ryan Leaf lead Wazoo to a Rose Bowl, because in current college football, a blue blood with deep pockets just comes in and buys those guys away a year before those runs happen. Are the days of a Big Ten of a Big Ben at Miami of Ohio over? Will we ever see another Randy Moss at Marshall? I fear not, as a Michigan, LSU, or Oregon will just throw a big bag of money at them and the rich get richer, all while keeping the little guy down. College football is quickly becoming just a low-quality version of the NFL, especially for those of us who just want to watch and love what makes college football different. Thank you guys for keeping it slightly above average all these years. And just an FYI, Ryan, you can't beat up an alligator in a one-on-one. I don't know what that means.
I'm not sure either, but we were talking about beating up things at some point, I believe.
Got it. Got it.
I don't think I claimed to want to beat up an alligator. The SEC bias, I think, was there for the playoff where Florida State should have been in. They're like, well, how do we get – we need to get Alabama – or we need to get somebody in from the SEC in. What's the plausible way? Well, you can't get Alabama in over Texas because they beat them in Tuscaloosa. So Texas has to be up to 3, and then Alabama could be 4. And we'll just say, Florida State, you suck, and you're out. So yeah, that was like basically that was just we need to get the SEC in. 100%.
Yeah, they reverse engineered it to make that happen. I think it's horse shit. We talked about that last week.
Yeah.
For the transfer portal and NIL, like I can understand it disheartening. I think as a fan, the fan experience of being a fan of mid-level teams is significantly worse than it used to be because of the portal. And I empathize with that as a, you know, somebody who follows a team that's decided to be a low level Power Five. But think about the schools you mentioned there. I fear not as a Michigan, LSU, or Oregon will just throw a big bag of money at them. You didn't mention there Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, or Oklahoma, which is interesting. Because those are the four schools that have dominated college football for the last, I don't know, decade, 15 years, something like that. You mentioned Michigan, LSU, and Oregon. And in as much as there is equalization, whatever you want to call it, parity in college football, the transfer portal is allowing those schools who maybe have a little bit more money than good sense, a little bit more money than success on the field in recent times, to measure up with Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, and Oklahoma, but specifically Alabama, Georgia, and Ohio State, who are constantly recruiting at a top five level. You know, these schools are a slight cut, but a cut below that. And NIL is allowing them to step up to that upper echelon a little bit easier than before. But, I mean, there's... Look at what we've gotten the last 2 years in the playoff. And this is in the transfer portal era. Last year, we got TCU. This year, we got Washington. What those two teams have in common is that their blue chip ratio is well below the cutoff line for actually contending for a national championship. And yet they made the playoff.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of. Look, is it upsetting for a Washington State fan to lose Cam Ward? Yes. Is it upsetting for an Oregon State fan to lose your head coach, a lot of your staff, and your top two quarterbacks? Also, yes. But I don't know that the facts are completely in on whether this is a positive or a negative force for competitive balance in college football. College football has always lacked competitive balance. Your mileage may vary on whether it's a feature or a bug, but it's part of why doing a playoff in the first place is kind of stupid. And this whole idea of you're going to get a true champion is just stupid, and it always has been, is that first, teams don't play the same schedules. There's 130 teams in FBS football. There is absolutely no way to equalize the schedules. No way. None. There's not even a way to do it at the P5 level. There's just no way to make it so that everyone's playing the same schedule. Beyond that, programs are situated differently. Like what North Texas has from a resource standpoint is dwarfed like 100x by what Alabama has resource standpoint. But they're in the same division. Like they're in the same division of football. They're both in FBS. This is ridiculous. It's stupid. Claiming that there's ever a true champion is stupid and ridiculous. The fact that UCF a few years back didn't get a chance to play for it despite not losing a game speaks to that. It's stupid. But a playoff doesn't necessarily make that more equal. It just makes it dumber. Like it just makes more opportunities to, leave out other people that might have, you know, well, this team was 9-3. They're left out of the 12 team playoff. They were really hot at the end of the year. They might have actually been the best team in the country. Playoff doesn't determine who the best team in the country is. It never has. Not to like be all, you know, reject modernity, but embrace tradition. But having an argument about it at the end of the season was part of what made college football what it was.
That like, is true. Yeah.
You know, there was
part of it.
There's a split title this year because we couldn't figure it out. Have fun arguing about this for the next 40 fucking years. And that was part of the fun. And now we've got this playoff, which gives this like pseudo rationality to it, but it's the same dumb shit. Like it's just you're trying to assign value to something that you're trying to assign predictive elements to something by saying only these four teams are in the conversation Well, Florida State is obviously in the conversation, and if they beat Georgia in the Orange Bowl,
oh my God,
they're 100% going to claim a national championship, and it's going to delegitimize the college football playoff, which declares singularity. They declare we are the national championship in a way that, you know, has claimed legitimacy over the sport in a way that nothing else before really has, not even the BCS.
I mean, if they're undefeated with, like, wins over Florida and LSU and Clemson, and then two-time national champion Georgia, and like, you're 14-0, and you just beat Georgia in the last game of the season, who won the last two national championships. Like, how can you not say that they're not worthy of being a national champion? Like, that's crazy.
Well, and especially if it's something like, I don't know, like, say Texas. I mean, Texas could absolutely win the national title this year. If it's Texas that wins it, and it's like, oh, they lost to, like, a, you know, kind of mediocre or Oklahoma team, and then you've got Florida State that just beat Georgia with a backup quarterback. I don't know how anyone who is not directly associated with the college football playoff and who's not contractually obligated based on the college football playoff to name whoever wins that number one, I don't know how anyone doesn't pick Florida State. I don't know. Like, because they will have beaten the Heisman Trophy winner, and then they will have beaten the team that somehow got a one of the most flawed Alabama teams in the last decade into the playoff because Alabama beat them. They will have beaten them too. So obvious, they're the obvious national title winner. I would vote them the national title winner.
Yeah. And the Cinderella thing. So I was sitting next to our buddy Ralph Amsden at the Pac-12 championship game. And, you know, he's a Wyoming fan, and he's talked about it's actually good. Like, so you say, okay, Wyoming loses players to Power Five programs. That's true. But because it changes the game. Is everything going to be equal to what it was before? No, but you can still use the portal to your benefit if you're like a Wyoming level, because now you get more of those players that have the potential to be Power Five players wanting to come to Wyoming, because they know if they do really well, they'll move on to the next spot too. So it's actually, and from what he was saying, it actually helps them to get better players to get into the program, knowing that you might lose some of the best ones, but you're still getting more good players coming there because you've proven that you can move on and go, I can go play at USC after I played at Wyoming. They're like, well, I want to go do that too, and I can't get in there right now, or I can't go to UCLA or Washington. I'm going to go play at Wyoming and ball out, and they actually benefit from that. So I wouldn't say, yes, it's different, but you're seeing the sort of like scraps from the top come down and help middle of programs, and better players go to some of those middle of programs because they can feed their way up to the better program. So it's changed the game, but I don't think it's like ruined it where only Alabama and Ohio State are going to do well. It's not the case. Like it's still spreading things out. It's just doing it like in a different way.
Yeah.
Is it like trickle down economics or something? Is that what it is? Or sort of
probably, Ryan.
Similar? I don't know.
Yeah.
Hey, we got the perfect ending from our buddy John in Brea. Hey, Ryan and Dave, it's fitting that in its final year, the Pac-12 cannot be neatly set aside by the College Football Committee, and it is indeed the Pac-12's unexpected relevancy that threw the playoffs into chaos. And if we are all going to argue for the four best teams making the playoff, how can anyone be more upset than our Arizona Wildcats? Clearly, one of the best four teams at the end of the year, yet still waiting for their first ever Rose Bowl appearance. And if the spirit of horrific conspiracy-laden decisions disguised as diplomacy by people of authority, Dave, can you please give us a 30-second eulogy for Harry Kissinger? On to bowl season, I can't
Henry,
wait to see.
Henry.
I'm sorry, Kissinger. Henry Kissinger. Sorry.
Harry
Kissinger. Yeah, go, John. Go, Harry. He said, I can't wait to see the Pac-12 or ACC refs call the Rose Bowl. Cheers, John Abreu.
Hopefully Henry Kissinger roasts in a hell that I don't believe in. He is one of the worst undersold monsters in American history.
So you're not a fan of him. What about Harry? Harry, you like?
I would say directly responsible for the deaths of many, many millions of people.
Wow.
Absolute monster. Should burn in hell. Rest in piss, Henry Kissinger.
Okay. Hey, Mr. Apollo gave us a super chat.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, Arizona should be in the playoffs. I have nothing else to say. You guys are the best, even if Ryan A. is a Troji. One of few Trojis I like. Hope this podcast survives the Big Ten move. Oh, one super last thing. Dave, please say F. Martin Jordan.
Fine. Fuck Michael Jordan. I think LeBron James has proven by winning the in-season tournament that he is superior to Michael Jordan, who never won an in-season tournament.
He never did.
He never won one. So that's one LeBron James, zero Michael Jordan. Fuck Michael Jordan.
Wow. Yeah. That was kind of cool. Are you like, I went to a few of the in-season tournament games. They were kind of fun. I mean, I don't know. I like them doing innovative things.
I haven't really watched an NBA game in like a decade.
Oh, you should.
Yeah. I mean, I shouldn't say that. I've watched sporadic, but I should say I used to be a Lakers fan. I'm not anymore. Kind of gave it up. All right. UW's defense is from Peter in Vancouver. Gentlemen, should UW's defense be given a little more respect? Oregon has one of the top offenses in the country, number two per FEI, and UW's defense held them under 35 points twice. Only one other team did that this year, Oregon State. Also, what does it say about UW's offense that Oregon's defense only gave up over 30 points twice all year, both times to UW? Sure. They should be given more respect.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a complimentary defense for what they were doing because they've played in some games where the offense wasn't working as well. Penix didn't, you know, throw a touchdown pass against Arizona. You know, they struggled. I mean, they've struggled in some games. And I thought the defense stepped up and played well in those games. So I think it was complimentary. And, you know, they played well in big games like Oregon. That's where you want them. Al says, goodbye, Pac-12. Good evening, Harry and Lloyd. I can't say my Buffalo's time in the Pac-12 was fun. Honestly, it was a fucking disaster. In the Pac-12, the Buffs had a 0.25 winning percentage, 28-85. In the end, they didn't have a winning record against any Pac-12 team. And he lists the records against all the Pac-12 teams.
Their best record was 3-3 against Stanford.
Yes. Thankfully, the Buffs finished 11th in the last ever power rankings. And this being the Pac-12, they finished ahead of the team they lost to after being up 29-0 at halftime. All the stupidity of the Pac-12. I'll miss it. So to the 11 schools, you're welcome for being the conference's punching bag, but at least we won the South once. Smell you later from Al.
Yeah, in context, that 2016 Colorado team is one of the funniest things I can remember. And if you go back and look at it, like just the way they had to win games, because it wasn't like a very good team. It was just they won some close games. They kind of danced through raindrops, got smoked a couple of times, but it just they were a Pac-12 team during, you know, a very weird year where I think Washington was the playoff team, and then it was just a lot of trash elsewhere. But that Colorado 2016. Beautiful year. 10-4, baby.
That was a great year. Landon says, damn, FMJ got to unsubscribe. Me or Dave, Ryan. Wow. So that was a joke because he didn't want to say F. Martin Jarmond. So that was more of a joke.
Landon. Yeah, that's true.
Please don't unsubscribe. But if you have to, you have to. I mean,
whatever. This is from Frank in Sacramento. The return of Elephant Head. Now that USC has defensive coordinator Danton Lynn to lead the Trojans defense, do you think Lynn will bring Elephant Head back to USC with him? That's parentheses Jay Toia.
Jay Toia.
No, you're pronouncing it incorrectly.
Really? We've always said Jay Toia. Did he change it when he went to UCLA?
So the trick with Polynesian names is just pronounce every letter.
When we interviewed him.
Toia, because a bunch of idiot people like you pronounce it like that because it's easier than saying Toia.
Well, they never corrected it. Like they never but now
his name is Jay Toia.
Nice. Okay. We've always said Toia. Like even Gerard, Toia, who's very good at the, you know.
Mm-hmm. His name's Jay Toia.
Okay. Yeah, Clay Helton called him Elephant Head. or
something. That is such a fucked up thing to say. Why are you doing that, Clay?
It was something like, yeah, something about how big his head was. It was just very very Clay Helton.
I mean, he's got a massive dome. Like it's it is impressive. No, I think Jay Toia is much more likely to depart for more lucrative waters, like say the National Football League.
Is he
probably had enough year that he's going to be like a mid rounder? I think, after his film gets out, he was really good this year. He developed a lot, so I would anticipate him moving on to the NFL.
Okay,
not a done deal though. Things could always happen, but I would think he's moving on to there.
Speaking of big heads, you're getting closer and closer to the.
That's because I'm reading, man. If I sit back here, I'm going to be like squinting.
It's really hard. Like I feel like my eyes are getting worse, and I should. But I try to keep the camera position the same. But then it's like sometimes it's hard to read, and it's when they're long, I get it. But you
all right, is this an actual? No, that's not an actual email.
That one's not.
This is from Crispy Bruin.
Okay.
Dave's cold take exposed. To Ryan and his lordship, the right honorable gentleman from Westwood, David Woods, in the rare instance glorious leader Kim Jong Woods is demonstrably wrong, I think it only fair for Ryan to dunk all over him on behalf of we, the listenership.
Fair enough.
After the last podcast, my phone autoplayed an old POC episode where Ryan rambles about spring games, March 15, 2022. The point of interest was Dave poo-pooing future Heisman winner Jaden Daniels' move to LSU, saying, quote, "If I were him, I would have found a comparable school or transferred down a level." And, quote, there's absolutely zero chance he starts a game.
I want to play that.
First, we're going to fucking start here. You didn't have that autoplay on your phone. You went and found that, Crispy Bruin. Don't lie to us, but most importantly, don't lie to yourself.
He's never going to start a game.
Two questions.
That's one, so awesome.
Could Dave have been any more wrong about anything ever, notwithstanding Chip Kelly's projected job status?
He's very wrong about Chip Kelly needing to be fired.
Here, if you
probably
go back
more wrong about that than this.
Look,
you the Heisman winner should not have started a game. There.
You can find wronger takes. You can find in my expansive history on Twitter and on this podcast. I think I have said probably 60% incorrect things, and of those, probably 20% are more wrong than this.
There is absolutely zero chance he starts
a game.
Like, obviously, so I'm going to grab that at some point.
How many different ways are there to eat crow? I'd recommend spit roasting or a clay oven. Jokes aside, happy that a San Bernardino native could have the success, even if it's painfully outside of the pack. Chip Delenda Est. Crispy Bruin.
Love it. Mm-hmm. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I will go find that Crispy Bruin. So thank you for bringing that to my attention for Dave to be dunked on. Love it. Okay, let's see. Next one we've got. What is this? Our year in review. Not that. Video cannot be monetized. What the hell's going on here? Gundy to OSU.
That's because you put a clip from a football game in one of, I think, that solo show you did.
Oh, and they said it can't monetize it or something?
Yeah, you motherfucker.
Okay. Gundy to OSU for Irvin. Thoughts on Gundy returning home to take the Bruins' offensive coordinator gig? Curious how you would distribute the credit for UCLA's high-powered offense and supreme quarterback play this season. Is this a good hire? Or is Coach Bray only staffing people with ties to Corvallis? Keep it mediocre. Go Beavs from Hank.
Hank, do you want me to tell you the truth or a polite lie? You can't answer. This is a written medium. I don't know. He had very little to do with the offense. This is not a multiple inputs offense. This is a Chip Kelly show. I would say quarterback development. Wasn't great. So we'll see. I mean, he might have learned a lot from Chip Kelly, and Chip Kelly's still, a pretty good offensive mind. And sometimes guys are, in certain positions and then they move up and then they do better. But I would say nothing to write home about. So yeah, I would say it's mostly it's because he's got ties to Corvallis, and hopefully that plays and he does really well there. But yeah, I don't have much more to say beyond that.
Alrighty. I'm just trying to download this this episode so I can get the clip here for you guys. All right, what else do we got here? I think that's it, right?
I think that's it.
We did have, okay, we had a couple questions I had starred in the chat. Kyle, and I've, could you guys talk about the block payments that Washington State and Oregon State just did? I'm wondering if this is a bad move by the Pac-2. Why wouldn't Washington cancel the Apple Cup series now?
I think this is just,
Can I explain what it is, or do you know much of what it is?
They're blocking a mid-season distribution from the TV deal of $60 million that would be split between the members.
It's like $5 million a school.
Yeah. So this is where I think the breathless reporting about all the machinations here, I think, are not doing justice to the larger thing, which is this is just legal bullshit going on. It's just lawyers doing stupid shit back and forth, leveraging, out-leveraging, you know, doing all that kind of crap. It doesn't behoove close analysis by like the hoi polloi. It really doesn't. I would imagine this has next to no relevance for any Apple Cup series. I think it's just them flexing a little bit of their leverage so that they can get, you know, some level of negotiation back on this thing. Like, it's just having paid attention to legal processes a few times, the breathless coverage of this doesn't need to happen. Like, you don't need to be reading this. This is stupid shit. Like, it doesn't matter. They're going to eventually distribute the money. It'll happen because this would hurt their standing with what the judge already ruled about. Like, you got to be reasonable with like how you exercise your power. Like, they're not actually going to go forward with this. So just pause on like reacting to things is what I would say, and just wait until this kind of shakes out in a month.
I was kind of thinking the same thing. That's normally your stance, and I kind of like get into this stuff sometimes. I don't know if it's along the same lines. Ben said, any thoughts on the Grant House versus NCAA case? And I don't know if that's similar.
So the only thing I would say here is it's a preliminary injunction. Nobody should take advantage of it because it's a preliminary stay or whatever the fuck it is. It's only 2 weeks, so we don't know if it's going to continue. So I don't think anybody should take advantage of it because you don't know if they're going to retroactively do anything. But this is another in a longstanding story now of the NCAA just getting absolutely washed on every single bullshit rule it has. Yeah. And I think it portends.
That's the transfer rule. That's the, like, you can now transfer or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. It portends bad things for the NCAA, for a lot of the rules that we have built our understanding of college athletics on. But I don't think in of itself, it's going to lead to a sea change. This is flimsy enough that I can't imagine any player advisor would be recommending that people take advantage of it right now.
Yeah. And Ben said that Canzano and Wilner did talk about this, and I listened to their podcast, and it was, even for me, I was like, yeah. So essentially what they were saying was that with this lawsuit, that everyone, the Pac-12's named, all the different conferences are named, the NCAA, and it can get into the billions of dollars. And so it seemed a little flimsy to me, but the argument would be like, they want to keep the money because if they're liable for whatever this, you know, whatever comes down. So basically, like, they could be liable for damages after those 10 schools have already left. And if you pay them all their money, then they're gone. And now maybe the Pac-2 or whatever has like a huge, you know, only two schools are paying for all the damages that would, you know, the Pac-12 would be liable for. It was something along those lines. So I was just like, oh God, like that did. I mean, you're talking about like future payments for lawsuits, and the NCAA is a terrible record in lawsuits. So you can't like bank on them winning one. But I don't know. And it came from like an Arizona State swimmer. And it's like, I don't know how this turns into billions of dollars, but I have not dove into this. And I just, yeah, zero.
If there's going to be like damages and stuff, wouldn't, I don't know. I mean, this Pac-2 is it's a shell company that they're keeping in place for another 2 years so they can collect a bunch of money, but then they're just going to dissolve it. So,
or they're going to like absorb the Mountain West and keep that shell company.
Right, but if they're going to carry a potential huge liability, then they'll just dissolve it and then move over to the Mountain West. Yeah. Or call it, you know, the Pacific Ocean 12 or whatever the fuck. But it's that feels very flimsy. That feels like I get it at some level that if you're carrying the revenues and you're carrying the assets, you're also carrying the liabilities, but again, this stuff just like, unless you are like a busy con, like I really love this shit. I love getting into the legal wranglings and ramifications of all this stuff. Not worth your time at this point. Just wait until like a real court comes out with a real ruling and then react to what that means. But yeah. Like for now, it's just, you know, this one judge said this thing and, you know, okay. Well, I guess we'll figure that out. And Oregon and Washington State are posturing about this $60 million. Okay. How's this going to shake out? And we're not going to know for several weeks. And again, it's one thing to like sit and project and analyze a football game or a football season, but sitting and projecting and analyzing like courtroom dealings and shit, I don't care, but I also like, I don't know why anyone would. Yeah. Like, it's just, it's beyond your ken. It's beyond your rationale. So just, you know, accept it when it comes, because it's not something to root for or against.
Some of the stuff I kind of got into and I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. This was like, wait, this is about some liability of this court case. Like, oh my God. Like, no.
Yeah. And I mean, look, I'm not saying it's not important. I'm not saying it won't have ramifications. I'm just saying like, it doesn't like, no part of this is aided by your scrutiny or your yes. analysis of it.
All right. Well, I think that's going to wrap things up. That's all we got.
Excellent. What a great show. Top tier.
Amazing. So next week we'll do a show, figure out when traveling. I think I'm leaving on the 21st. I'll be flying. So we could do a show sometime before then.
What's the 21st? That's on Thursday. What day? What time on the 21st?
I need to find out. I'll look at my flight schedule and see what's going on. But yeah.
Okay. I can do, we don't need to do
the We don't need this on the show.
But I can do it anytime because football will be blessedly over.
Yeah. So you'll have some free time and stuff. But yeah, we'll do a show next week that sort of recaps the bowl games and then previews the next week's bowl games. And then I don't know if we'll do like the full on preview because it'll be like Christmas week the next week. But we'll see. We'll do recap and previews. And we'll see how many previews if we include Oregon or Washington in those, or if we do another show after that. But yeah, that's going to wrap things up. David Woods, I am Ryan Abraham. Hope you guys enjoyed the show, and we will talk to you next time.
Goodbye.